God bless you.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. And I just want to extend, first of all, a return blessing multiplied upon those who were assigned to sow into my life at this season. When I obey God and you obey God, we have every right for the expected multiplied return. Now, as you've given in faith, I want you to stretch your hands toward this way. Gracious God, our Father, so faithful are you for those who hear and heed you. Now, Lord, you're demonstrating not only in this process, the giving part, but you're also demonstrating continuously in the harvest part that you're faithful to your word. I thank you for the faithfulness of your people. We stand every day in awe of your goodness. You are so wonderful, God. Every need we have is met, and you are even dealing with us in the abundant area. And so, Lord, I speak abundance upon those who have sown in my life today. Some sowed out of need, God. Some sowed in the midst of their struggle. Some sowed out of abundance. But however they sowed, as they released by faith, Lord, I thank you for the return multiplied harvest scheduled already today. When it released their left their hands and was released, you then began to schedule their harvest. Some will be supernatural, some will be instantaneous, some will be in their season, but we thank you, all of it is going to return. So we bless you, thank you, give you praise and glory in advance for the best that is yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Give God some praise if you're one of those recipients today. Hallelujah. Amen. As you stand on your feet with the word of the Lord. Now, I want to use for our scripture reference today a very familiar text, but many of you may not have to open it up to know this one, but it is found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 as our launching scriptures. Listen to what it says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. I want to talk about trusting God for your treasures. Trusting God for your treasures. I would be remiss if I remotely spoke as treasures being mere money or mere wealth. Treasures are boundless in terms of the reality of the meaning treasure, something that's very valuable and valued. And so today when we look at this text, you'll see how the writer of Proverbs mentioned some things to his son to give or to impart wisdom. And in talking about the blessing of wisdom and talking about how one is able to increase in both the natural and the supernatural, the secular and the sacred, he starts off in verse 1 by saying, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Now he says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Listen at this. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God," that's spiritual, "and man," that's secular. Now here again, I want you to see this, because when we start off, you know, a lot of folk want to know how to get peace, how to extend life, how to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, how to walk in these things. Well, here are some helpful holy hints as to how we can receive these things in our lives before verse 6 comes into play and verse 5 that we're focusing on. These first four verses set up what the writer is saying in verses 5 and 6. Look again, because again, "My son, forget not my law." Forgetting, talking about the mind. He engages both the mind and the heart. Remember, whatever is processed in the mind and has come to a comfortable conclusion, it's either kicked out of the mind, rejected as a school of thought or as a thing to be desired, or it is embraced and filed away in the file cabinets of your heart. So what happens is, once it has run the course of processing, you either gravitate to it or you reject it. And if you think on it, process it, then if you accept it, it goes into your heart. He deals with letting it be a part of both. "My son, forget," that's the mind, "not my law." Keep it in your mind, on your mind, "but let thine heart keep my commandments." That's the essence and the purity of those things that you've gathered. Now, sometimes when you read scripture, you might not be able to quote the scripture word for word, but when you've processed it enough, you get the essence of the scripture. It's like when I was a boy out there in Grove State area, they used to have the cane trucks that would process the cane trucks, and then across the street they used to pack them and stack them up there. And when we wanted cane, we just go get a stalk or two and take a knife and, you know, chew on it, and you get all the good sugar and the sweet from the sugar cane, but you spit out the rest of it because it's not profitable for you in that form. But here's the point. Even though we have processed it by eating it and gained all that we could, we didn't have the stalk and all of that in us, but we had the essence of what the cane held, and that was the sweetness. Well, that's the thing with the word. Many times as you read the word and you get the understanding, you can't go back and quote everything you just got through reading, but the substance of it stays with you, and that's the part you file in your heart so that you begin to get an understanding of what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, and how to use those things as the situation presents themselves. Now notice what he says again in verse 2, "For length of days." This is a continuation. If you keep his law and the commandments, "for length of days, long life and peace shall they add to you." Which means that you're going to learn how to make the right decisions, the right choices. You're going to learn how to control yourself, your taste, your temper, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to, because of the decisions, you learn how to make more informed decisions, more godly decisions, how to fight temptation, how to yield to God, how to resist the devil. You're going to have length of days. You're going to have long life. You're going to have peace that God's going to give you. Those things, listen, are going to be added or the byproduct of learning how to process the word of God and then keeping it in your heart. David said, "Thy word will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Now listen to this. You've got to get to the point where you got enough in this word in you so you don't have to walk around with the word to live the word. In other words, when you get enough of the written word inside of you, you process it in your mind. When it gets to your heart, it is mixed with faith, which then produces this written word to become a living word. And you no longer have to walk with this word for the real word to walk in you. In other words, when you get it right, you don't need to carry this for folk to know this is in you. And so notice again, it says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now look what verse 3 says. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. How can mercy and truth forsake you? I'm glad you asked. When you do not apply them. When you do not utilize them the way God wants you to. You can't get mercy unless you ask for it. Mercy is connected with forgiveness and repentance. It is connected with you understanding what God has to do with your situation. It is not because of you, but in spite of you, he does a whole lot that he does for you. And so you got to understand that it is truth. God is not going to be with you if you are not with truth. God is on the side of truth. And whoever's on the side of truth is on the side of God. Now, just because you're called a saint, a Christian, or this or that or whatever, if you walk out of truth, you walked out of the will of God. And the truth will forsake you. The truth is not going to go where it does not abide. And it cannot abide where it is not accepted and where it is not lived. So if the truth, which is the word of God, in other words, if you forsake the word is going to forsake you. If you turn from the word of God to your own way, then God's going to leave you to your own demise. The only way you can engage the mercy of God is through the truth of God, understanding who you are, whose you are, what is for you, what God will do for you. And it is that truth that gives you the platform to stand upon and to call God's mercy into your life. Listen, again, I've shared this before. When Hezekiah had received the word to get his house in order because he was getting ready to die, when the man of God told him that, he presented truth to him and he turned, didn't have no discussion with Hezekiah. He was the mailman. What was in the mail was between him and God. He walked on out the house. Hezekiah didn't try and say, wait a minute, you better take this to somebody else's house. This mail was his mail. He turned his face to the wall and prayed to God, and he stood upon the platform of truth and mercy, and God heard his prayer and then spoke to Isaiah before he could get out of the courtyard. He told him, go back and tell Hezekiah I've added 15 years to his life. Now that's how you deal with truth and mercy. How many of you here today because you deserve to be here? Listen, the truth be told, since last Sunday you messed up bad. God could have terminated your contract with him long time ago, but mercy was included in the contract. And the truth of the matter is, if you know how to know how God operates, he said that's going to last to all generations. His truth is going to endure it. His mercy is going to endure it. Thank you, Lord. But you've got to know it to access it. And that comes through the word of God. Look again what he says. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor. You looking for favor? I'm trying to tell you how to find it. Because I got news for you. When you find favor, favor going to make folk find you. Somebody ain't hearing me. You got to have favor, because once you find favor, the favor of the Lord upon you is attractive. It draws to you what you have need and desire of once you get the favor of the Lord upon your life. Favor is an attractant. And a lot of people don't understand it, but it ain't because you good-looking folk want to be next to you. It's because you got favor. And you know what? Listen, some folk, and you need to recognize this, they know they don't have favor like you got favor with the Lord. So they want to get close to you so you can tell God something about their situation. You know, I know you close to God and everything. I just want you to pray for me, because, I mean, I was praying, but you know, I ain't got it like you got it. Well, won't you get it like I got it? You got to seek favor so that God, listen, God wants you to live so according to this word that if you can't find me, can't call me up
and you've got a need, you ain't got to call Chairman Jackson, Brother Daniel, or any of the other ministerial staff. You can say, Lord, I thank you, I have favor with you. I thank you, I can come personally, boldly to your throne and tell him what you and know when you get through talking to him, it's already done. How many of your prayers are delayed and your plans are delayed and your blessings are delayed because you're waiting on somebody else to convey to God what you got need for? And then that's a messed up thing, because there are some things you ain't gonna want to tell me that you need to tell him. And if you give me piece of the story and I give him piece of the story, you ain't gonna get but a piece of whatever it is you're looking for. So shalt thou find favor. But notice when you find favor, and I'll just throw this out parenthetically and quickly because I got more to deal with, so I won't be able to go. But you find favor after verses 1, 2, and 3. So all you do is walk back through those three verses and find those things in there, and you'll see that favor comes after those things. Verse 4 continues, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. See, now when you get favor, that's only a part of it. Don't stop at favor. Because if you got favor, don't have good understanding. You can have a whole lot and not know how to do a whole lot with what you got. Good understanding means that you are able to apply the favor and the principles both before God and man, which means that you're blessed in both the spiritual or the supernatural arena and the natural, which means that you know how to go in before God, but you also know how to go before men, which means that you know how to operate in the spiritual realm, but you know how to operate in the natural realm. You can't be so spiritual good that you're, you know, no earthly good. You can't be so earthly good that you're no spiritual good. You've got to have a balance, and this verse teaches us favor and good understanding in a balanced term. You know, there are some folk who are so holy it makes us sick. You know, something is wrong. Don't get me wrong. The essence of God ought to be in your conversation, ought to be in your walk, ought to be in your talk, ought to be in everything you do. But everything you do ain't got to be shrouded in this mysterious voice. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, I went to the mall, praise the Lord, and bought me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I saw. Oh, I got a sale. Thank you, gee. I didn't have a 20. Oh, praise the Lord. It ain't got to be all of that, baby. You know what? The Lord spoke to my spirit. Just told me, go on down. That was us. I didn't know that was no sale. My funds were low. You know, I don't like cheap stuff. You can buy good stuff at cheap prices if you listen to the spirit. And the person on the side of you paying full price for something you got almost a third or better off on, they're looking good, feeling good, and you're looking good and feeling good, and they ain't paid nowhere near what they paid for. That's God, baby. The woman that came before you had the money to buy it, but it wasn't in her size. Y'all not hearing me here. And you said, Lord, I can't afford it now, but hold it till sale day come. And you walk rightly before God and you go back. God reminds you, this is the last one. It's time to go on and get that thing. And you get, I'm trying to help somebody. When you walk in favor and good understanding is you got to know how to walk in your season. Walk in it. And a whole lot of us don't understand that favor is just one part of it. Good understanding is knowing how to walk in it. How to operate in it. And so listen again, because it says, and good understanding in the sight of God, conjunction, and joining them together, man. Doesn't have to be independent of each other. In other words, if you got it good with God, that don't mean that you can't have it good with man. Jesus grew in favor and in stature both with God and man. Here, again, is a paradigm. Here is an example. Here is a picture of how it is to be done. Favor is a powerful thing. because it is God who grants it to you, just like grace that you don't always deserve. But when it is upon your life, God calls those who come in contact with your life not to so much see you, but the favor that he has placed upon your life. So that's why verse 5 is in the word. And look at what this verse says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All thine heart means the wholeness of your heart, meaning no place for doubt, no place for disbelieving, no place for wavering. But if you trust him, you don't doubt. If you doubt, you don't trust him. If you believe he's going to do it, don't worry about how he's going to do it. The end result is I'm holding on to he's going to do it. Now, here's what I've got to understand. I stop trusting in God when I start trying to figure out what he's going to do. He's already told me his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. They are so far different from each other that there is nothing in me that can conceive the awesomeness of God's thought processes. So why am I going to rack my peon brain trying to think of the stuff that God can do when he can do some stuff that ain't been thought of yet? So I lay up at night trying to figure out the answer when God already has the answer. And instead of turning my problems over to him, trusting in him and knowing that he's got this thing fixed, I try to come to some conclusion myself, try to syllogistically deduce from cause to effect. And when it doesn't line up and it doesn't come out right, then I'm stuck like Chuck trying to figure out why the Lord ain't revealing this to me. The reason he ain't revealing it to you is because you ain't got to do it. He's got to do it. You taking time from praising him trying to analyze the problem. Some of us got a serious, serious problem. It's called paralysis of analysis. You spend more time thinking about the problem than you do giving God the praise. When it gets to the point where you can't figure it out and you've turned it over to him and you know he's going to work it out, all that time you would have been trying to figure it out, you ought to engage that in pre-praise. Why am I pre-praising him? Because I know he's going to do it. He promised me that he would do it. And so I am committed to believing and trusting him. And as I do that, I understand how to walk in favor and good understanding of what God desires. Do you know faith stirs God up? Listen, the worse things look to you, the more you ought to lean on the Lord. And the more you lean on the Lord, the better things will start looking, because you'll have a different perspective. Because what God literally does is he starts letting you see what he sees. And you're going to be surprised that what you see isn't what God sees. But when you turn it over to the Lord lifts your spirits to the point where why you can't always figure it out, he starts putting a piece in you saying it's already worked out. And when he tells you in your spirit it's already worked out, little bit by little bit he starts showing you how it all have I got a witness in the house who know what I'm talking about? See, but you can only experience this if you trust him. Because trust him means that you ain't depending on nobody else, including yourself. Trust in the Lord with all thine your heart. Now, here's the next part. That if you get past that hurdle, here's the next one. Conjunction. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, I keep telling you, if it's the same thinking that got you in the stuff, how do you propose that with that same thinking, you're going to get out the stuff? See what you don't understand is that whatever it is you think you can do or can be done is limited to your finite, your limited access to information, situation, experiences, or input. Over and against an infinite God who has all wisdom, all knowledge, all experience, all understanding, who can do some stuff that's never been done before. See, what you got to realize is the reason why you might not see your answer is because he ain't created it yet. I'm trying to help somebody here. The reason why you hadn't seen what God wants for you yet, it might be because it doesn't exist yet. And because you trust God, he's only going to bring it into fruition and manifestation when he's ready to deliver it to you. But if there is a need for a preview, he's going to meet you in the spirit realm to show you what it is he's got for you. But that's only going to happen if you trust him with your whole heart. All your heart. Lean not. It's your own understanding that enters that realm of doubt. Well, what if the Lord don't do this? Well, what if this don't happen when I need it? Well, what is? When I know so and so and they didn't have. Your own understanding is what got you in the problems and situations you're in right now. It is incapable of being compared to what God offers. And notice what he goes on to say. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. God says, take the limitations off of him. I operate in more than just the sacred. I operate in the secular also. I can operate in church, but I can operate on your job. I can operate in this family. I can operate in your family. I can operate in our relationship. I can operate in your relationship. I can operate in our finances. I can operate in your. Listen, take the limitations off of God in all thy ways. Listen at this. I can promise you without knowing your name, your rank, or your serial number that every problem you got right now, you got it because you lean to your own understanding. I can promise you every mistake you've made without knowing the mistakes that were made because you leaned to your own understanding and you did not acknowledge God. Or if you acknowledged him, you did not wait for the answer. Or if you heard the answer, you did not acquiesce to the answer. You did not adhere to the answer. You did not obey the answer. In other words, if you messed up and are messed up 9 out of 10 times, it's because of you, not because of God. Have I got any witness in the building? When you look back over your life and see the good, you're going to see God somewhere around there. When you look back over your life and see the bad, you're going to see God ain't nowhere around there. God ain't in a whole lot of stuff we try to fix to him. And then this is the thing that gets me when we're going to tell the Lord, Lord, if you want me to do this, now you done already planned to do it. You done made your resume, made your plans, you done got your stuff together and all the rest of that. And then you're going to say, now, Lord, if you don't want me to do it, then you start saying, well, if he didn't want me to do it, he wouldn't have let me do it. I asked him if he didn't want me to do it, don't let it happen. Well, God gives you his word. His word is his will. His will is his way. So what you don't understand is before you say God didn't stop you, go back to the word and check and see what he had to say about it in his word. Because I got news for you. He's never going to speak anything different in your spirit that he has not already first spoken in his word. That's the way he confirms his word by his word, be it written form or spoken form. If God says anything different from what is written in the record, then I know it ain't God, it's an angel of light trying to change himself, make me believe God is in that mess. But I got news for you. I don't care how you sweeten the mess up, cover the mess up, dress the mess up. If God ain't in it, it's just mess. It might smell like a good mess now. It might look like a good mess now. It might be dressed up like a God, dressed down like, but it's still. Oh, touch somebody and say, you're not a mess, are you?